Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are. We're in February, and it's the 4th.
4th of February.
We get 4 shows this month.
Toughest spelling month of the year.
I always think it's February.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's like Wednesday.
Wednesday.
It's the same thing. So that in February always kind of screws me up. But anyway, we are back. We had a week off. I hope you enjoyed your little mini holiday XDH Unplugged.
It was great.
Nice and rested, right?
Well, it'd have been nice to pick some stocks.
Wow, that was quite the week. We had a day that was down, 450 points one day, down 600 points another day.
Right, enough to wipe everyone out.
Yeah. Crazy. Well, let me give you a little bit of a teaser of what we're going to be talking about this evening. So we have investors move from all clear to all fear and then back again to all clear today. So I'm not exactly sure which one it is.
I don't know why they did that.
I don't know. This coronavirus thing, it's kind of taken over and really putting a hamper and a crimp on China. And I think that there's this whole idea that, well, you know, it's over there. It's not here. And that's what everybody's getting excited about because... But
even if it just stays over there, it's not good for the worldwide economy.
No, it's terrible. They closed down Macau. We'll talk about that a little bit. Tesla beat and guides higher stock will not go down. Not only will not go down, I have a great chart for you to show you here. It's gone not only parabolic, which is kind of straight. It's almost bent to the left. It's going up so far. It's out of control.
Just like Musk, he's kind of bent to the left.
The impeachment trial looks to be nearing an end tomorrow. The Iowa caucus. What is going on? These Democrats can't do anything right.
You know, it's an embarrassment.
They used an app. They didn't check something. There was a calculation error. You would have thought that they would have done some mock-ups, some trials, some tests that would have just knocked this issue right out.
People trust technology too much.
Yeah, it's a problem, isn't it?
I mean, what was wrong with the old way they used to do it? It was kind of quaint. It would take a while, but it was all done by hand. And now they're using some app, some unknown app that no one's ever heard of that is now all of a sudden seems to be the problem. They're blaming the app.
Yeah, the app. You got to blame something. You can't blame somebody. You have to blame something. It was the app. It was a glitch. It was a problem it wasn't us. It was them. And we are going to have a Super Bowl update. I want to hear your thoughts on that. So, but, you know, on this coronavirus issue, which obviously has now, 490 people have died from it and 25,000 or 40, I remember the number, 45,000, is a problem. China markets opened up the first day after the return back from the lunar holiday. And it was down 8%. Well, as was expected, and as we thought, I talked about this, as a matter of fact, this weekend on the Disciplined Investor podcast, just right on schedule on Sunday, China government is pledging to have ample liquidity and to provide a understanding that, hey, you know what? We're not going to let anything bad happen to markets. And it's again, the same thing that whatever happens in the world, the central banks are seemingly to the rescue. Markets go down, they're there. There's a virus, they're there. There's an issue with politics, they're there. The, you know, inflation is not right or it's just whatever it is. It's amazing that there's all this incredible liquidity that keeps on being pumped in. They put in like $240 billion. They reduced their reserve requirement, the RRR ratio, down by 10 basis points, which is pretty substantial.
Yeah.
So... you know, the U.S. markets got smacked. We had a 50-day tap of the 50-day moving average. First time since October. Markets are down 3.5% from their high. And everybody's like panicked after a 30% increase last year. We got a 3.5% downstroke. Everybody's like, it's the end. And I mean, there's some good reason behind this, because the coronavirus is said to, there's a calculation out there that's showing that there's going to be about a 0.5% cut to global growth because of this. That's without it spreading.
That has to be a conservative estimate.
I think so, too. I mean, you can't say there's going to be a 3% cut to, you know, with all the central banks. They're more concerned, by the way, about the, it is very clear to me that we all are more concerned about the markets than our health. That's what the politicians are.
You think that's anything new?
I don't think it's new, but I think it's really gotten out of hand.
Oh, well, in this market, yeah.
So now when we add in the fact that U.S. GDP could be slashed by also 50 basis points because of this coronavirus, and another 50 basis points from the Boeing 737 MAX issue, that's 1% off, and we're only at about 2% now, so we're looking at maybe a 1% growth rate for the year.
I wonder whether we're going to hit that.
Well, we do have the trade deal, the wonderful trade deal. Larry Kudlow was on TV saying tonight that, oh, you know what? All the amazing amount of imports and exports that were going to go on, that flood of exports, it's going to be just delayed a little while now because of this. The door is shut on China virtually by every country around the world. I mean, the airlines for major countries are not flying in. People are not getting left out. 50 million people are under a quarantine.
Yeah, it's wild.
50 million people.
And none are too happy about it.
No. And then other places are doing like self-quarantines. They're putting up, I don't know if you saw these videos. They're putting up like temporary brick walls outside their neighborhoods, outside their homes, outside the communities. Like, yeah, the virus isn't going to get in now. You know, they just put these bricks up. And the thing about this virus is the incubation period. I don't know if we talked about this, but it's a 14-day or so incubation period. And during that time, there is, if you don't show signs of the virus, you're still contagious.
Yeah, asymptomatic contagion. It's terrible.
That's a real
It's the
point.
Worst thing you can imagine happening. That's it's the terrible. Worst kind of thing.
So you know what I did? You would like this. I went up to D.C. last week. And I decided, you know, I'm flying, and I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to wear a mask.
I've pointed this out before, that this is a great idea.
I wore a mask.
Did anyone sit next to you?
Yeah, they did sit next to me. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I thought I was going to get weird looks, and I'm like, okay. And I was a little bit, you know, like, oh, I'm going to put this mask on. It's not just a mask. It was kind of like a whole full frontal face cover. Yeah. It was one of these that I bought on Amazon that you put inserts inside of it.
Oh, you know, okay.
Disposable inserts.
They have a whole bunch of different ones you can get.
Yeah. You can't get the disposable ones I heard on Amazon. They're sold out.
Oh, I'm sure they are. I bought some a couple of weeks ago, and I haven't got them yet, but I'm supposed to still get them.
Yeah, so I got this one, and two separate people on the flight pulled me over and said, hey, you know, I really like your mask. Where'd you get it? I was like, really? Really? I'm like a designer mask guy now.
Yeah, you're the guy. You're the man. You're the mask man.
So the problem with this was that you put it on, and you're not used to this, and you're breathing in, and your whole face is getting hot.
Yeah, you start sweating.
Oh, I'm like, I don't know if I can do this.
Raise your temperature, you get pulled off the plane.
Yeah, I'm like 5 or 7 minutes into this mask wearing thing, and I'm like, I don't know if I could do this for a few hours on the plane. I don't know if I could do it. And I'm starting to think, okay, you know, now I can't focus on anything. I'm like, okay, what if I want to drink and I got to take my mask off? What if a germ gets in at that point? I'm thinking, oh no, you know, I mean, I'm like, I'm totally consumed by this on the plane. Okay. And, so I just sat there, didn't eat or drink, watched a movie, and just, you know, that was fun. That was it. I just sat there.
That's pathetic. You know, those planes are supposed to be equipped with HEPA filters that prevent these things from getting this, from disease floating around the plane.
But you know what? That's fine. But if I happen to be sitting next to somebody and they, you know, put their hand on the armrest, and I do or so, and whatever it is, I could, you know, it's possible to have, you know what? The truth of the matter is, in that closed of an environment, in that close of an environment with other people, I don't see any reason why we shouldn't be wearing masks anyway. Like on a regular basis.
I don't know.
Yeah, this is going to be part of my airport garb from now on. I'm doing it.
Just lie less. I did notice some years back when I was on flying Southwest and there was somebody sitting next to a window. This is a number of years ago. And the person sitting next to the window had a mask on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, this is interesting. And so I sat on the aisle seat in that same row of three. And the plane filled up and nobody sat there. No one would sit next to the person with the mask.
Well, they have assigned seating. What are you talking about? This is assigned seating.
Not on Southwest. Southwest. Yeah. Southwest, not assigned seating. It's all by first come, first serve.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when you can. So I realized that this was a good bit.
Yeah.
And so if you're flying with your wife and you don't want to, you know, you could have one of the two of you sit by the window and wear a mask.
Ah. I told you that's what Larry David did. He put the MAGA hat on. Nobody would talk to him in L.A.
No, I saw that episode. It was very funny.
That was great, wasn't it?
Yeah, the MAGA hat worked.
Anyway, commodities are also getting hit hard. So that's kind of interesting. So last week we got some GDP numbers.
Shouldn't commodities be going up?
Nope. Well, certain commodities. But the problem is that you're having is that with all the airlines not flying, well, fuel, fossil fuels that you don't have people driving in China. You have basically a standstill of the economy, and then no need for any fuel or excess fuel. So oil prices are down 18% this year. They clipped 49 and change today.
Yeah, I saw that.
And then you had gold is holding up pretty well. I have a whole list coming up in a second. GDP up 2.1% in the latest read, slowest in a couple of years. Still growing, but the latest issues may kind of change that a bit. ISM manufacturing number came in actually pretty good. Next week, ISM non-manufacturing, the service index this week, productivity and labor costs, and the employment report expecting 175,000 adds with 3.5% unemployment, which is basically what they say every single time. Nothing changes, which is kind of close. So they figure, we'll just get in that a little bit less than 200,000, a little bit more than 150, 175 is the consensus. That's good. We're good with that. And then just, adjust it later.
Yeah. It's like signing the contract and then working out the details later.
Yep. Here's a commodity update. Crude down 16% as of yesterday. Soybeans down 16%. Natural gas down 14%. Copper down 10%. Copper also is a major indicator of manufacturing around the world. So that is important. Gold up 3.5%, silver down 1%, Bitcoin up 29%.
Yeah. And Tesla up 300%.
Tesla's unbelievable. We're going to get to that. I don't mean to keep on teasing these, but let's see here. iPhone shipments cut. They closed a couple of factories in China. So some top analysts, guy's name is Ming-Chi Kuo, said in a note Monday that his firm, TF International Securities, is cutting his iPhone shipment forecast for the first quarter of 2020 because of the coronavirus and cutting it by 10%. And they did a survey and said that the suppliers that are being affected they're going to cut it to 36 to 40 million units in Q1 of 2020. And we'll never know. Because Apple doesn't disclose any of their numbers on iPhones. So this guy, who knows if he's going to be right or wrong. So I don't know why this guy is cutting estimates that he has no idea what they are. He'll never know.
Well, maybe he works with the companies making the iPhones where they look. Sometimes you can make these estimates. This should happen in the olden days with the hard disk business. The hard disk business was used as to monitor the amount of computer sales. And it's possible that somebody could have access to the number, the manufacturer of the screens or manufacturer of some specific component that goes in the iPhone, because that maybe those people will talk with you and you can get their numbers. And and that chip, let's say, or screen goes into the iPhone or case goes into the iPhone and they're going to make X number of them and they're the only one making that part, you can then estimate how many iPhones are going to be sold.
And you can
made.
Do this, like there's a couple different ways to do it. The Bloomberg Terminal has a an area that you go in, and what you do is you can look at the supply chain. And it kind of, you put the company, whatever you're looking at, kind of center it. And then it has a bit of a chart, which would, would it be a Gantt chart maybe? Where you have all the different extensions out and how much contributes and larger and smaller. And you can click on that and say what they contribute and what the estimates from them were. So it's what you're saying. Same thing.
Yeah, same thing.
So we'll see. Maybe that's the case.
You can get the numbers, but you have to do it through the back door.
Back door, but also this is, I guess, at the end. I don't know how we're going to find out until it's, I guess, time. But Apple stock doesn't seem to be too concerned. They were down a few percent on that major hit last week, but not much.
And they're also closing all their Apple, well, at least for a couple of weeks, they're going to close the Apple stores in China. You think they're going to take a hit here and then no one cares to get out of the stock?
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Because they'll
about
just keep on doing buybacks also. So, but really, it is a market condition where basically everybody figures, you know what? It's been going along pretty good over the last couple of years. And every time this is down, well, we have central banks coming in. You know, Philippines, their inflation rate was up higher than anticipated. And the expectation is they're going to come in tomorrow and cut rates. Essentially, every central bank around the world, dozens and dozens and dozens, are all in stimulus mode. And then you have the Fed pumping another $25 billion in last week. And, you know, all the folks coming out and cheerleading the markets. China, like I said, $250 billion. Who knows what Japan's going to do? Japan's going to get hit hard by this. They get a lot of visitation and travel this time of year from Chinese tourists.
Yes, this is true.
Can't travel. Singapore, the same thing. Thailand. So big problem. And plus, a lot of people would travel inside of China to go visit their families this time of year. That's not happening either.
I was told by one of the listeners or producers, actually, one of the famous producers on the No Agenda show that lives in Japan. And she said that the streets are empty. Ginza is specifically empty, where all the Chinese shoppers go.
And that's empty.
Empty.
Yeah. So I don't know why people are not. I really do think it's because it's over there. That's the big issue. And I don't know if the rally today was because people were thinking, well, maybe it's not spreading so much. Maybe we don't see that geometric change in deaths and infection rates overnight. I think the reason the markets rallied, you want to know my thinking?
Yeah, I would love to hear it because it just makes zero sense to me.
The only thing that I can put my finger on that makes any sense is that we found out last night, late night, about 10 or so, about this Iowa caucus nonsense. That's when the future spiked. So maybe they're thinking that the Dems have just absolutely no chance of getting in this game. And there'll be four more years of Trump, and at least it's business as usual. Maybe there'll be more tax cuts, maybe more debt spending, maybe more market friendliness. It's the only thing I can think of.
You think the market is so freaked out by the Democrats, or maybe it's because of Bernie and his wannabe giveaway, he's not going to get anything done, or Elizabeth Warren, or all the anti-banking that goes on in the rhetoric? They're so freaked out that they actually think the Democrats have a chance in the first place?
Well, I don't think they had a chance in the first place because, you know, Bernie Sanders, what's the price ticket on his taxes? Like $31 trillion or something ridiculous over a number of years?
Yeah.
Some insane number. I think that probably freaks out markets. The wealth tax idea, I know you like that, but markets are not too happy
about
that.
Yeah, but I like the wealth tax as a wealth tax, not the fake wealth tax where you have a regular tax system and then you have an extra tax. I don't like that.
Well, it is. I think that's part of it. I mean, maybe there was some recovery of the Asian markets last night to a degree. I don't know. Something really created quite a stir.
Your theory is correct, let's assume that it's because the market hates the Democrats and it'll go up if it thinks the Democrats are screwed up and they can't win anything. Even if that's true, why would they jump in now before letting this corona thing settle out and see what really the damage would be? Why would you jump in before the damage is completely finished?
I have no idea. I mean, except for the thought that, you know, well, it's going to be transitory. Eventually, this thing is going to go away. Sometime in, well, I mean, what are the scenarios here? The first scenario is that we'll have a transitory situation that is really focused in on Asia. And it may, you know, have a pretty ugly effect, but no worse than a really bad flu season. The second thing is that it comes over here, still transitory flu season, and, you know, goes away by the summer. The only other alternative is it just kills us all. But
well, its kill rate is less than 10 to 1, so it would probably not kill
it's
everybody.
It's like 1%. It's like 1%. So even
no, it's higher than 1%.
It's 490 and there's 27 or 30,000.
Some of the numbers are questionable and these people just got infected. It's a possibility that it's as high as 10%.
Okay. Even if it is that high, and I'm not trying to be horrible here, but let's just do some math just for a second. If 10 million people died in Asia, that doesn't even put a dent into the population. Right?
Right. No, right.
I mean, seriously. I mean, that would
it be. It is maudlin that you would say that, but yes.
That's why I said I'm just telling you just mathematics here, not anything that would be horrible. I mean, just terrible. But I mean, the fact is that unfortunately, there's just so many people there. What is China's population? 1.3 or 4 billion?
1.4 by just, some estimates.
That's I just think they're, China.
Yeah.
So. It will impact the economy, but for how long? And then it eventually passes. Either there'll be a cure or it'll just naturally die out on its own. So, but it will have an impact. But I don't think people care because I think as long as the idea is that the Fed and the central banks are going to be there and the governments will be there to provide all sorts of money, regardless of the impact on the debt of the nation, I don't think anybody really cares very much. It's a bizarre world we live in. If you think about it, really, what could take down markets? If you constantly have a Fed or a central bank that's pumping money into it, and companies that are able to borrow at such low rates and buying back their shares, it seems to be it will get to a point that it can't go on any longer. But I don't know when that is. So Can't be too afraid of it, I guess. That's the thinking.
Yeah, well, that is the thinking.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah. Economics and manufacturing front. This is kind of a good story. The manufacturing number in the United States, it was below 50 for a number of months. And its latest reading came in at 50.2 in January, which was the highest reading since July. So back above the contraction level into expansion.
Yeah, I wonder what accounted for that.
I think there was end of year and into January, this whole idea that we need to start restocking. And I think there was some hope that the trade deal would go through. But again, you still have the tariffs on. So, I mean, you know that the last few months were very good. Maybe people were just restocking their inventories. They got pretty low, the inventories.
Okay.
So, Super Bowl, thoughts?
Yeah.
Good, bad? What do you like? Do you like it?
Well, I mean, I had to watch, you know, I knew that it was going to be a battle between the various choke artists are here and there, and I didn't realize that. The worst one was Kyle Shanahan, who was, you have to remember, the coach of the 49ers. He was the offensive coordinator for the biggest fold in the history of the Super Bowl, which was the Atlanta New England game, where Atlanta going into the fourth quarter was ahead like 24-3 or 28-3 or something. And then New England just started scoring and scoring and scoring and scoring when Atlanta could do nothing. And then they just got into overtime and lost the game. And that would, he was the offensive coordinator for that game. I thought at the time that, geez, this guy. And so he's coaching the Niners, and he looks like it looked like another choke job to me. very poor play calling. The Garofalo wasn't, it was, didn't have any confidence at the end. They couldn't make a first down when they needed to. And the, and it was Kansas City scored 21 points to the San Francisco, nothing in the fourth quarter. It was a very depressing game for the people out here.
49ers looked pretty solid in the first half.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, they looked a lot, not only from a scoring, just generally speaking, they looked a lot stronger.
Yeah, they did.
And then it just, it's like they ran out of air.
They choked.
Yeah. What about
the half? They could have gotten pooped out. I mean, it's possible they could just got tired, but the other team could have gotten tired. They didn't get tired.
What do you think about the halftime show?
The halftime show was, I couldn't understand a word anyone was singing.
Well, that's because it was in Spanish, but yeah.
Oh, was it? Yeah. Well, who knew? I couldn't understand. I can understand a little Spanish.
A lot of it was in Spanish.
And yeah, it was, seemed overblown and too, you know, a lot of cultish symbolism that I could do without. And I don't know. I mean, Shakira is fun to watch dance, prance around, but that's about it.
I mean, it was too.
I didn't think much of it.
I don't want to say middle aged, but two women that were up in years. Fantastic.
40s.
Yeah, okay. From, I mean, as opposed to some of the newer artists.
Right. I agree.
And both fantastic dancers, both great singers. And I thought what was really interesting is both of their acts were like identical. They come out and they dance. They do the singing. They take a little clothes off. They do a little crazy dancing. And then they come out with a rapper. Or a guy to dance.
Yeah, who was that guy? This guy shows up in both of the acts. He's like in there. I couldn't understand him either.
Yeah. And then you have almost the same exact. I mean, I thought they were great. First of all, I thought the dancing was great. I thought that the everything was great. But I was, you know, why do we have like the same acts back? You know, it's almost like a mirror image twice. I don't know. It was a little weird. But it was great. I'll give you that. And it was nice to see that. We weren't in this environment that we can't have women as, you know, as women, if you will. You
objectified know? Yes, sex right. objects.
Yes. I think it was very good that we could have a very healthy experience.
Yeah. That, well, a lot of people saw a lot of devil worship in there. So
oh, come on. Really?
Oh, yeah.
You live in a strange place.
No, I don't. I got off the internet.
Oh, well, that's why it's the internet. Devil worship. What was it? What particular things would devil worship?
Oh, the red, the flames, the Satanist stuff, the gates of hell opening up underneath the singer, the pillars, the two pillars of the Masonic cult, the black and white, the checkerboard things, the kids in the cages, the whole thing. It was a lot of it. You have to, there's a couple of good websites you get this stuff from. I mean, this is the kind of stuff Adam follows more than I do, but I get a kick out of it when somebody does the analysis because it's quite funny.
And what would be the reason that the producers of the halftime show would want to do that?
You tell me. I don't know.
Was it part of a
one
of a
world satanic government under Satan? I have no idea.
It was the first step.
So
they
introduced the Antichrist according to this one analysis.
Come on. Yeah. At the Super Bowl. Why not? There's a lot of audiences looking, a lot of people looking.
Yeah. Sounds like a good idea.
Yeah. The devil wanted to make a big splash this year. Came out during the Super Bowl. Why not?
Just saying. This is what I saw this. I got a kick out of it.
Well, you know,
and it could be true.
So we know that the 49ers are from San Francisco, right?
Well, they play almost an hour away in Santa Clara. They should be called the Santa Clara or even the San Jose 49ers now.
But we do agree it's California, no matter where,
yeah,
how you slice
they're
it.
A California team. All there's right. no doubt about it.
And the Kansas City Chiefs are from
Missouri.
Oh, okay. You do that, of course. You know, I don't know if you saw that the tweet from President Trump. We'll have this tweet in all its glory on the show notes for episode number, what do we got? 491 over at DH Unplugged. You saw this?
Yeah, Kansas City, Kansas. I mean, the town is in both states.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying.
The stadium is in Missouri, and everybody knows it's a Missouri team. Kansas City, Kansas, you know, is like a kind of Hicksville by comparison. But yeah, he put it on there. It's another one of these things. He does this kind of thing. I'm sure it'll be chalked up as another Trump lie.
Well, not Trump lie. No, you have two. First of all, it's going to be Trump lie is silly. That's just ridiculous. what it's going to be is either chalked up as Trump is an idiot.
Oh, he's an idiot.
Okay.
And a liar.
Or I was just making a joke. You can't take the joke. Of course, everybody knows it's Missouri. He knew it was from Missouri. He was testing everybody.
Yeah. Well, maybe, yeah, it's a test.
Yeah. And the advertisements.
The worst. They had too many callbacks to stuff from the 40s. From the 50s, 60s, and 70s. I don't think half the audience got half of those callbacks.
I mean, there was a couple of them I thought were really interesting. The Tide commercial.
The one that went, it was a cereal.
Yeah,
it was a cereal.
It was annoying.
Started off with a stain. It went through a Bud commercial and everything in between.
I thought it was really annoying. The whole thing about the stain for later. And I don't, why is Tide paying that much money for the Super Bowl? I mean, I don't know.
They must have paid $3 million for that series of commercials.
And we saw the Trump commercials. Those were good. Did you see any Bloomberg commercials? I thought he was supposed to have something. I didn't see it.
I think I may have seen one out here.
Yeah, maybe, I didn't see
it. I don't remember. I can't say for sure.
Yeah.
I don't think Bloomberg even knew the game was going on.
Oh, maybe not. No?
He doesn't seem like a football guy to me.
Impeachment update. No witnesses. Looks like it's going to end with a not guilty in short order tomorrow. Kind of a busy week. We got the State of the Union. We got the Iowa caucus shenanigans. We got the no guilty coming out of Senate tomorrow. And do you think they should vote in public or they should vote privately?
They're required by law to vote in public. They can't do secret ballots.
Not a secret ballot, but a closed.
They got to stand up for themselves. It's like certain here's what's so funny. You know, the union, the Democrats promoted this idea of unions having to do public voting. So the people who didn't want a union would have to stand up and say, I don't want a union. Mm. And then they could be shouted down by everyone. Says, you better want a union. And so they made it. So the Democrats made a big fuss about, unions should be public voting. None of this secret ballot stuff. And then now in this situation, they say, if it was a secret ballot, the Republicans would all vote Trump out.
Well, everybody, it's the same thing.
It's bull crap. It's bull crap. It's specious because you can't do a secret ballot.
Anybody, listen, you've seen what Lindsey Graham said during the Clinton impeachment and how he's acting now. I don't know when the public is going to get the fact that these guys and gals in Congress and in politics are just a bunch of thieving, lying jerks.
I think they figured that out.
Oh, did they? Okay, good. Bloomberg has a new tax plan. He is a $5 trillion tax haul, includes a repeal of President Trump's 2017 tax cuts for the high earners, along with a new 5% surcharge on incomes above $5 million per year. It would be raising capital gains taxes for Americans earning more than $1 million a year and maintain a limit on federal deductions of state and local tax payments set under the 2017 law. So in other words, that's going to be interesting on that because that's been a problem. It would also partially repeal the income tax cuts for corporations, raising them to 28% from the 21% level that we have now. So again, another Democrat that's coming in with, which may be a good idea for the country. Markets are not going to be happy about this. And where is the money coming from for all this to fund, he's funding himself.
He's not getting anywhere. Let's face reality.
How come he didn't get any votes at all during the Iowa caucus? I don't understand.
He wasn't signed up for it. He specifically didn't want to do the Iowa caucus or the New Hampshire primary. He's right now campaigning in Michigan or someplace.
And Tom Steyer got a point.
No, there's a guy who did get involved. Yeah, Tom Steyer.
0.3%. What a miserable fellow. Feel bad for him. He doesn't smile.
All you have to do is look at him. He's a sourpuss.
Yes.
He doesn't really, I don't even know what his platform is. He just hates Trump. I know his whole thing began with let's impeach Trump, which is like, what kind of a platform is that for a beginner? It's not a positive thing by any means. And his ads are on California constantly. And it's just he just seems like it's a downer. The guy's a pill. There's no way. I don't know what he's thinking. It's just he's deluded.
Well, this is what he's doing. He's going to spend his money that he accumulated, this massive amount of money, because, you know what? I'll run for president. I'll get that off my on my bucket list that I was a presidential candidate.
Well, that's about all he's accomplishing. Yeah,
that's what it is. It's a big thing to say. I mean, that he can't get anywhere in it, he's going to have to drop out shortly. He's going to have to.
Well, his wife better get him to drop out. They're going to lose the family fortune.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's already lost half the family fortune he gave to that giving pledge.
Oh, that's gone. So he's going to do the other. Yeah, he's another self-hating billionaire.
Yeah, or something. Something's wrong with him.
Yeah. Earnings. Lots of earnings coming out. Check this out. Tesla beats on deliveries, earnings, and looking at some positive revenue outlook. Stock at all-time high, not coming down. Amazon, major blowout in a good way. One-day shipping and was a big hit, and costs were less than anticipated with changing over from the two-day shipping to a one-day shipping.
Facebook, yeah, they got all these Amazon. Have you ever got a bunch of these Amazon trucks?
Yeah, they're everywhere. They're the last mile trucks now, I think, for a lot of. They lost. Well, there's Amazon trucks, and there's also these people in their cars that deliver.
Yeah,
stuff.
I see the people in their cars, but less so now that the Amazon trucks are all over the place.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like any other business. If you have enough money, you could just spend enough to make it all happen.
Well, they're definitely making it all happen.
Mm. Facebook, not such great earnings, slowing growth and slowing users. Stock was down about 9% from its all-time highs recently. Google shares fell 3.5% today as an advertising business, and the new data about its YouTube and Google Cloud was disappointing. They split out their revenues from the cloud business and YouTube and showed them. They never really kind of showed them before.
Yeah.
Disney came out tonight, beat slightly, better Disney Plus subscriptions. Plantronics got crushed, came out with some really ugly numbers. This is the second time there was a gap in this stock recently, last couple of earnings seasons.
Wow, nice short.
Yeah, off 30%. Snap, disappointed, about 11% after hours down. Ford, another ugly print. And, you got all these other car companies beating them. No, it's just the nature of the business. They just can't make money right now. So they're off 9%. So here's this great part we got to talk about here. Tesla. So Tesla comes out with their earnings and, the stock moves up pretty good, like 10 to 15% or whatever. It's moving up pretty well and all that. And then kind of starts squeezing some shorts, keeps on moving up the next day or so. Stock market is down like, I don't know, 500 points. Tesla's like kind of hanging in there, up a couple of points throughout the day. Then on Monday, yesterday, just goes vertical. And the reason is being said is that it was fueled by the move was fueled by a quarterly profit beat at Panasonic's battery business, with the U.S. car maker and investor report predicting its shares would rise more than tenfold by 2024. So the read through on this is that the car maker is finally positive, getting a lot of orders, a lot of traction from Tesla, and therefore this is another sign that this is really good. Things are really good. But you got to look at this chart.
I looked at the chart. This chart's ludicrous. If you had invested about a month ago, you had a 4X return.
I cannot tell you the numbers that are being spouted about some people that picked up some options on this for like 5 cents, and now they're worth like $125 a share per option. Do you know what kind of numbers you're talking about there? It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. The options going the other way should be just as ridiculous if this thing peaks.
Well, one of the things that happened today, this doesn't usually happen, is you got a higher premium in the, let's see what it was. It was a higher premium on the call options today than the puts.
Wow.
So I think that was
at this number?
Yeah. They flipped to a very unusual.
It makes no sense at this point.
Yeah. So it was as high as 960 today, 969 maybe. And it was, I think it finished down at, at the end of the day, the last like 30 minutes, it started coming down really hard. It went down to about 864. And I think it finished the day, it finished about 870 something or so. And then after hours, I saw a print right up to the 8 o'clock time when the after hours markets closed at 9:04. I am personally short this stock with a very short leash. I've shorted a few times, made some money on it. Very small. You know, I'll add to it if it starts moving directionally correctly. But even today, you know, it opened up, then it came back, it came up, it came back down, and it just shot up to the moon, it came back down. I mean, it's ridiculous. One of the things that was really interesting yesterday was a screenshot of the number of Robinhood, which is the free app that a lot of the young people use. They call them the retail and the, they call them the dumb money. The amount of holdings, the amount of accounts as of yesterday that held Tesla just exploded to the upside.
Yeah. We all know what that means.
Yeah. So today was a good day for them, but I just can't imagine.
I'm in with you on what you're going to do, which is short Tesla for the game.
You got to short Tesla on this deal.
Yeah, you got to put me on that one.
Yeah.
It'll be a purple.
I don't know where it's going to go, but I mean, even if we snap back to 700.
Oh, it's looter. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's the second largest car company in the world now. It's above Volkswagen, only behind Toyota.
Oh, they'll pass Toyota before this is over, maybe.
I really thought they were going to take a run at $1,000 a share today. For whatever reason, I don't know. 50 million, 55 million shares traded today. An unheard of amount for this stock. I mean, this stock at the beginning of the year was it was 400.
You could have got it at 200 if you
yeah, back in the summer.
Yeah, 200. That's a nice. It's a five bagger.
I mean, I get how it did cross
five bagger in 6 months.
I mean, you can look at this chart and you can see that consolidation right below 400. It bounced off 400, came back up. You know, for what, 2 years? But this is just this is something I don't remember the last time I saw something like this. And every time you see it, getting involved in it is very painful for a while. But after the fact, it's like, oh, come on. That was obvious.
That's what I'm thinking.
That's obvious. You just got to give yourself enough room. You know, here's the trick. The trick is not to get in. I have a friend.
It can't. Before you go in with the trick, let me just say this. It can't go to infinity.
No. Nope. That's true. Trees don't grow to the sky. Well, this tree is growing to the sky. You see how I'm saying it almost looks like it's bending left?
So, oh, no, it's like a badly designed roller coaster.
The trick is not to get into a position like this if you do decide to get into a short or maybe even a put or whatever it is. You know, you have a defined outcome on a put. You can't lose more than whatever the investment was. But if you do enter a short into this or even a long, whatever it is, on this kind of name, you can't do it above a level that if it does go wonkers on you, that is going to be really painful. So let's say that, you know, if a $5,000 loss, $2,000 loss, $10,000 loss, whatever the number is a pain point for you, like if you lost that, it'd be like a problem. You don't invest more than, you know, that level that you get to get there. So if you only have to take 10 shares or 30 shares, that's what you work with. And yes, your opportunity is much lower, but at least you don't get blown out of the position if you are correct. In the game that we play, we just have a percentage number. It's not talking about the share balance, whether you have a $10,000 investment or a $100,000 investment. But that's the thing about these kind of names. You know, essentially, hey, I'm going to invest in this either long or short, and my pain point is X. Therefore, I got to figure if it drops 50% or goes up 50%, you know, what's that number that would be that problem? So if it's $5,000, you don't invest more than $10,000 for a 50% pain point.
Yeah, I agree. But this is an opportunity for puts, it seems to me.
They're expensive is the problem, really expensive, unless you go way outside the money, and I'm sure they're still expensive. I'm sure the $600 puts are out of control.
Maybe.
I mean, if you can get like a $700 put that ends like next week and things happen really great, that could be. But taking it like 3 months down the road, I think everybody's on the same plane as you are on this one. So there you go. We talked about the Iowa caucus. So now with this Iowa caucus problem, it seems the Nevada Democratic Party said that they're going to not use the same app or the vendor.
Yeah, I know.
That led to the delay. So, and the State of the Union address going on right now. Any updates? Do you see anything happening? Anything exciting?
I'm not watching it yet. I'll watch it later.
Yeah. All right. Let's see here. And by the way, even CNN hands the win of the Iowa caucus to Trump. That tells you something right there, right?
Well, Trump did win the Republican Iowa caucus, but that was like an unchallenged, so who cares?
Of course. So a couple of things. We've been away for a week. We have a lot of things going on here, and we'd appreciate if you would participate, helping out, giving us a little bit of a hand with the show. You can go over to dhunplugged.com and click on that little donate button and help us out with a little bit of a donation, a few shekels. Helps out the matter to defray the costs and to show us your love. I know a lot of you out there haven't given, because if you did, we would just be swimming in cash. So do us a favor, not even a favor, do yourself a favor. Do the world of podcasting some good. Please go over to there and dhunplugged.com and click the donate button. Click it twice. I got to go pick up the... We have the close to the, just to follow up on this, I have the trophy. It's done. It's got a notice that.
Oh, nice.
It was engraved. Got to pick it up, send it to our winner. Mm-hmm. All right. So just getting back to China for a second here. I want to mention that Macau, which is the world's biggest gaming hub, closed down.
When did I always thought that Vegas was.
I think Macau took that over a number of years ago.
Huh.
Yep. The China government has asked the casinos and I guess the Macau government also, because they have a separate government thing going on there. They asked the casinos to temporarily close all and halt the operations and to halt the spread of the coronavirus. So that's
their government is kind of like Hong Kong. They're slightly separate.
But just to understand how screwy things are, even with the closure request today, guess what? The stocks moved higher.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is kind of the state of the industry, right? You have a stock that moves down and maybe it's off by 7 or 8%, and they're closing down for several weeks. And who knows, you know, how that's really going to impact. Let me give an example of something. Somebody's going to Macau tomorrow. Well, they closed down. Okay, they're not going to go. Cancel their plans. It's over, right? Done. Now, they may go back and rebook something for later, maybe. Somebody that's booked in, let's say, April. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was booked to go to Macau in April, I may think at this point right now, you know what? I'm not sure what's going to be there, and that's going to screw up my plans if I have to make changes. I'm just going to change it now. I'm going to go somewhere
else. Yeah, I'd
bail. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I'd bail if I had any plans to go to Macau in the next 6 months.
Right. So I don't know what they're thinking of how things are going to get better in that kind of situation, and how the stocks that were down 3 or 4% pre-market on this ended up 4% higher on the day. Las Vegas Sands and Wynn, two major players that I think Wynn gets close to 70% of their revenue from Macau.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're big. And Las Vegas Sands and Las Vegas Sands in Singapore. That's a beautiful facility there. Although, pretty unsightly. Singapore is a small city, relatively small city, right? And you got this, I don't know if you've been there, but this gigantic casino. Gigantic.
Yeah, I've been there.
I don't know. I thought it was a little hideous looking from the outside.
It's out of place.
It's just a giant thing on the roof. Just, I thought it was weird. Anyway, so I don't know what they're thinking and why markets are thinking what they're thinking, but it appears to me that this could be a good opportunity today, if you didn't do so, to maybe unload a few positions that have really ran up nicely over the last however long that could be impacted by some of this. Which
I'd bail.
You'd bail on these stocks or just stocks in general?
I don't know. Well, I think those stocks for sure. And maybe I wouldn't be going long on anything, at least for the, I like to see things when they stabilize. I don't like this kind of situation. You know, they're always talking about, the market's always like hates uncertainty. Well, this seems pretty uncertain of anything.
But the algos are just holding it. And like I said, central banks are going to come to the rescue constantly. So,
well, they might be putting themselves out of business.
Yeah. Oil continues to weaken. We saw that on global growth concerns. Here's something really fascinating. The oil and gas exploration and production ETF, symbol XOP.
Yeah.
Hit an all-time low Monday.
Yeah.
All-time low. Think about that. With oil that was in the 40s and the oil debacle and the market lows of 2009. I don't know how long it's been around, actually. I shouldn't say that. It was down 76% from its 2014 high. I don't know how long that goes back. I'd have to look at if it goes back that far. But nonetheless, that's still pretty amazing.
Well, you know what's being overlooked in a lot of this is the price of the euro. It's $1.10.
Yeah.
Well, I've been pushing, you know, for the parity with $1 to $1, and we were like talking about it when it was $1.25, but now that it's $1.10, nobody's talking about it.
Yeah, I don't know, and nobody's even talking about Brexit either. I haven't heard anything about Brexit.
Well, they're talking about the pound. The pound is now $1.30 to the dollar.
What was it, like $1.60?
Well, it's normally $1.50, and it varies, and it got down to $1.40, but now it's down to $1.30. It's pretty low.
Good time to go visit?
Definitely a good time to go visit, yes.
Yeah.
Except for the traveling with the mask on for 6-10 hours.
And the cost of the taxes to go into Heathrow. There's some big taxes flying in there.
Interesting.
M&A news. This is really weird, odd, and I don't understand it. So I'm going to rely on you to explain this to me. Intercontinental Exchange, who owns the New York Stock Exchange, they're ICE. They call them ICE. They're the big exchange company, right?
Yeah.
And they're making a takeover offer for eBay for like $30 billion. What? How does that work?
Well, they probably see eBay as an exchange.
I suppose.
But
it's a little weird. Really
this is beyond my capability.
Yeah, I don't understand either. Even some players that I know that do analysis that we get feeds through every day, you know, throughout the day, they were like, huh? they don't understand it either. It must be something. Maybe they're going to try to flip it. Maybe part of the PayPal deals for currency transactions. I don't know. I don't understand what it gives them. More of a global footprint. All right. And finally, before we get to the stocks and all that, it seems that in Russia, Russian priests have been regularly blessing nuclear weapons and other weapons of mass destruction. And the Russian Orthodox Church has now requested that the priests refrain from doing so. So there's pictures of these priests. They sprinkle holy water on submarines, ballistic missiles, Soyuz space rockets, and other rockets and missiles and nukes and all this stuff to bless them. Yeah. Seems a little contrary to what you would believe.
It's a funny story.
I don't think there's any. I don't think I would believe the story, wouldn't you?
Yeah, why not?
You will bless this nuke, Putin says. All right, what else? You have anything else here? Did we miss anything? Do we pass anything?
I think we pretty much cover most things.
This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk, as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures. So you'll notice
we got wiped out.
Done. Burnt. Just done. I mean,
pretty much everything on the list is gone.
Yep.
Except two items. A couple of them are mine. I will brag about that. And it's from a while ago. It's Summit State Bank, which is up 10% even after the whipsaw that went on. and also advanced drainage systems, which was an insider's buy, is up 26%.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Other one that's still up, by the way, it's not up, but you cashed out at a big gain, which is Virgin Galactic.
Yeah, it's back up to 19 and change again today. But what's interesting is you didn't even have a excessive amount of a stop on the advanced drainage, and it's still doing well, you know?
Yeah. And not only that, but I'm actually kind of surprised that DuPont crashed out, because right after the corona thing hit, DuPont was mentioned a lot as a company that's going to benefit from it.
Yeah, them and Clorox.
Yeah, Clorox. And meanwhile, I got wiped out. So I lost all those. We actually lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 stocks all got bumped because of the zigzag. And now there's only 2 left.
I would venture to say there was a longs on there. If we had shorts on there, we'd probably get whipsawed out too.
Yeah, I think so. It was just a bad position.
So I have 2 names. We're gonna do this purple. So I need to say AH/JCD and make it a purple one. I'll make that right now, purplish color. I think that one a little.
That's Tesla.
A little mauve. A little light mauve. That's Tesla short. One more try. Now I didn't have.
This will be the best one. There's no doubt about this. You never know. Like you said, these things can get snap around a little bit and get wiped out.
So do you want to put more than a 10% stop, which would be
on the Tesla?
$90. Today was up $123. Yesterday was up $120.
Let's do 15.
We do 15. A little typing going on there. And I gotta click here. There we go. Now, I had another one on that I was thinking about. Now, I thought about this a lot last week. And I said, okay, what could benefit from this? And remember, I had the Lakeland Industries, and that did actually well, but then it came back. It was up like 10, 12% at one point. What else could do well? And I thought APT and the little trading of that, small guy. So, you know, okay, that could be good. I started thinking last week, what else? Oh, I got it. And it actually played out really well. Too bad we didn't talk last week. And that would be Zoom Media. Why? Why would Zoom Media do well? Well, you got all these people that no longer can meet face to face. This is the narrative. People can't meet face to face because of this problem. People aren't traveling and all that. They have to, but business still needs to go on.
This is an interesting idea.
Business still needs to go on. So now you have a video, you know, I don't know, but you can still use Skype, of course, and you can use a lot of free apps. But the narrative kind of built up till yesterday. This thing was up 14%.
Well, you should have bought.
So the question, though, is, I'm stumped. Do we go short this name now because of the reality will hit?
What do you mean we?
Should I go short? Should I go short because the narrative is now kaput when it's been exhausted and the reality is that everybody's like, okay. You know what? There's plenty of other ways to do this. Not only going to be Zoom. Not everybody's going to be running Zoom. This is GoToMeeting. There's Zoho. There's, you know, you have apps like RingCentral and all these other ones. You have Skype, you have whatever, you know, you have FaceTime. You don't necessarily need Zoom to do this. And if this thing does die down, does the stock just go back to where it was? So that's a short. Or does the narrative continue on if, in fact, we see another flare-up of this? I'm inclined to go on the short side to relieve it. It did also spike today and turn back down and ended the day down. So it spiked up again today and started running down. I'm inclined to take this on the short side.
Well, that's what I would do if I were you.
Yeah, okay. I'm going short. That's what I thought. Thank you. Just needed a little help with the clarifying the noggin. So we're going to short.
All right, here's what I'm going to do.
Uh-huh.
To rebuild the list. I'm going to short Amazon.
Oof. Wow. And what's the thesis on that?
It jumped to just gone too high, and Jeff Bezos just dumped $1.5 billion worth of his own stock. Even though I know that's not something you're supposed to trade on because he's just taking money off the table, I don't know why anybody needs that much cash. I guess maybe he's going to buy a battleship. I'm not sure. But I figured if he's relaxing his position, it might be worth shorting it.
Bezos selling.
Okay. And then to balance things a little bit, just in case that doesn't work, I'm going to go long on another insider deal. This is, let me close this here and get to the stock. This is AMRS, Amaris.
AMRS, the pharmaceutical company?
I don't know. They're special. They call specialty chemicals. AMRS.
I'm thinking Amarin.
That's yeah, you think so.
AMRS. Yeah, I'm thinking AMRN. Amaris. Okay, got it. Specialty chemicals. What's the reason? Is insiders?
One insider in particular.
Al?
The famous
Baker
VC.
Brothers?
No. If there's Baker Brothers, I'd be more comfortable. This is John Doerr, the famous venture capitalist from Kleiner Perkins in the Silicon Valley. Uh-huh. He's been playing this stock between 3 and 6.
Where's it sitting on now?
It's around 3-something. He buys it at 3 and sells it at 6 and buys it at 3 and sells it. I think he's going to buy it. He's dropping. It's not like he's playing penny ante game. He's buying $30 million worth of the company. Mm. So
A little day trading.
So I'm going to play the game.
I gotcha. All right. Well, we're going to end it there so we can end on our hour sharp note here. And we're going to see you again next week, I think.
Yep, I think so.
All right. I'll see you then.
All right. Adios.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.